I just want to start off by saying you are going to be so happy that you're here today. You're just about to be blessed by a very special guest that we're going to introduce in just a few minutes. But would you begin by just praying with me? Father, we feel so blessed this morning, Lord. You have been so good to us. Father, I pray that once again, God, that in this next 45 minutes or so, Lord, that just your spirit would go forth powerfully, Lord, that people would be so refreshed and so encouraged and so motivated to live as children of your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. And all in agreement said,
amen.
Amen. All right. Well, hey, if you're new here, we've been talking about hope lately, and we did a whole series on gaining hope in hard times, and we went through the book of Habakkuk. Then we spent another couple of weeks talking about hope, our future hope in heaven. And today I want to do something a little bit different. I want to talk about giving hope. Giving hope. And actually, it's a little bit counterintuitive because when we hit difficult times, and specifically difficult financial times, our natural response is to want to hoard. Right? Our natural response is to go, I need more for me. And even if I haven't lost my job or nothing's changed, I feel this need to like be a squirrel and hoard things up or more security or more for me. And if you stop and think about it, isn't that what got us into all this trouble to begin with? Right? Greed? Isn't that how we got here? Right? And maybe God is rocking the very economic foundation of this country because even when we had so much, we never learned how to be generous. Right? And so the way out of it is not by just doing more of the same. The way out of it is not by just, you know, more and more greed. The way out of it is actually to do the opposite. The way out of it is actually to begin to be thankful for all that God has given you, to be somebody who's actually a good steward of what God gave you and not conform to the pattern of the world, to become a person who's actually generous to the hurting and the broken people of the planet. I mean, when we begin to turn that greed upside down and it turns into generosity, then we begin to know what it means to really know God and have our heart. We sang, break my heart for what breaks yours. And if your heart really breaks for what breaks his, you can't help but be a generous person. And the beautiful thing is when we do that, we're the ones that end up being blessed in return. And I want you to see this pattern in scripture. By the way, if you have your Bible, open it up to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, okay? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll begin in verse 1. And I want you to see this principle that in difficult times, hear me now, in difficult times, the pattern of the church is not to retreat back in greed, but the pattern of the church is to excel all the more in generosity. Let me repeat that, okay? The pattern of the church in difficult times is not to retreat back and hoard in greed, but actually to excel all the more in generosity, and God blesses. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, says, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial and their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. So we think about financial difficulties here, but way worse, right? Extreme poverty, severe trial. What happened? Welled up in rich generosity. It's the last way you'd expect that sentence to end, right? Welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. It's like, listen, times are really, really hard. Financial exemptions, we're extreme poverty. So would you please give us more opportunity to give and be generous? See, God takes the economy of the world and turns it upside down. He says, listen, when you're generous, that's what it means to know me. And he wants his people to have a heart for the broken people of the world. And when we do that, when we live that way, instead of retreating in greed, but actually excelling all the more in generosity, we end up being blessed. I want you to see this in scripture. Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22. You can turn there in your Bible or you can just look at the screen for this one. Proverbs 22 verse 9 says, a generous man will himself be blessed. Why? Listen, for he shares his food with the poor. In other words, when you step out and you become generous and you start sharing what God has given you, you'd be a good steward of what God has given you, and you begin to be generous to the poor, then you yourself are blessed. Proverbs 11, verse 25. A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. How does a person be refreshed? Well, when we step out and we refresh others and we bless others, then we in turn are blessed. And today, I just want you to be, I want you to be blessed and refreshed. And I know you're going to be, because we've had two services and wow. I just want you to be so blessed and refreshed. And here's why. Because especially for those of you that have been giving generously here, right? And you've been giving and giving, and you're doing it by faithfulness, right? And that's good and that's right. But I want you to see what God is doing with your generosity. I want you to see the lives that are being changed because of your generosity. I want you to know that when you put an offering in the plate, it doesn't disappear into the church stratosphere. It actually goes to helping some of the most hurting, broken people on the planet. And you are a vital part of that. And I just want you to sit back and soak it in and be refreshed and say, thank you, God, that I can be blessed by blessing others. Now, one of the ways that we've been doing this through your offering, one of the ways we have several projects we're working on, but one of the primary projects that we're working on is in Malawi, bringing hope and giving hope to Malawi. Malawi is one of the 10 most impoverished nations in the world. We went there. I went there personally along with some of our other pastors on our first vision trip, and we worked with Somebody Cares, an organization on the field there, and specifically Chief Teresa Malila. And we went to several different villages, and we really felt called to adopt a village called Chikudzilire. And we thought, God, would you help us to bless this village? 920 orphans. 920 orphans. I mean, in Malawi, the situation is so desperate. 14 million people, now catch this statistic, 14 million people, 65% of the population is under the age of 15. Our generation, right, the parents are completely wiped out by AIDS and by malaria. You basically have grandparents and then you have, you know, 12 years old and under. I mean, it's absolutely staggering. 85% living in extreme poverty. And you know, it's the orphans and the widows that are most vulnerable to economic and sexual exploitation. And they desperately need our help. And so we said, God, here we are. And God, there's so much need. And we could be overwhelmed by it. Or we could just say, God, we'll take the fishes and the loaves that you've given us and we'll put them in. God, multiply them. And so we stepped in and we started giving and supporting and sending and building. And I want you to see some of the things that God has specifically done through your generosity. And you know what? I want you to celebrate with me. So when you see some of this stuff and you just go, yes, you can just feel free to let it loose today, okay? Just clap, amen, whatever the Lord leads you to do, okay? So the first thing we did, we went into Chikudzilire and we drilled two boreholes to provide clean water. There are literally now 5,000 people that are able to drink clean water because of your generosity, okay? And we have no concept of what that really means, right? Because when you woke up this morning, you turned on the spigot and you flushed the toilet and you made the coffee and you took a shower, and all of our entire lifestyle is built around just assumed access to clean water. But if you're living in Chikudzilire, that's just not the case at all. For many of them, if they have any access at all, it's walking miles to try to get a bucket of water that they carry on the head. Oftentimes it's a 12-year-old girl who's leading the family who's walking that far to get a bucket of water to bring back home. For many of them, it was so far, there's actually no reasonable access to clean water, and they have no choice but to drink out of disease-ridden water sources. So for us, when we provide clean water, you are literally providing life. You, SSCC, through your giving, you are literally providing life daily to thousands of people. You are blessing them. Be blessed. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, the next thing we did is we came and we built a feeding center because these children, 920 orphans, and like a lot of them, just most of them like malnourished, and some of them just starving to death, literally just starving to death. And we said, no, that can't be the case. We have to do something. So we built a feeding center and a couple rocket stoves, and maybe Teresa will tell you a little bit about that in just a little bit. But now there are hundreds and hundreds of kids that are being fed every day through your generosity. Hundreds of kids getting a meal to carry them through the day. You are literally, every single day these kids are being fed, you are providing a future for these kids in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. That's worth celebrating. Amen. Yeah. This is just the beginning of a community center that we've begun to build. And this community center, it will be a refuge for orphans and widows. It will be a blessing to the community like we know nothing of. They are amazed that such a thing would be coming to their villages. And we're about 2/3 of the way through the funding of that. We're going to complete the funding this summer and sending a team over there to try to complete the construction of that. And I'll let Teresa tell you a little bit more about that. But it is just going to be a huge blessing to the community. As a matter of fact, see those bricks right there in the bottom? One of the teams brought back one of those bricks, and it's going to be the cornerstone brick of our new facility that we're building. Isn't that cool? All right. And home-based care workers. You see, the sick and the elderly and the dying, they oftentimes have no access to the hospital. If you get there, there's no medicine. And so the home-based care workers, and there are 218 that work for Somebody Cares, 218 home-based care workers that go to the home of the sick and the elderly and the dying and the orphan and the widow and provide food and medicine and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. It is a beautiful thing. And some of you are supporting home-based care workers. Before you leave today, you will all know how you can be involved, and it would be my personal prayer that all 218 of those home-based care workers are fully supported by this church. The next thing, this one blows me away. Pastors in Chicuzulete getting their first Bible. Yeah, you're providing Bibles to pastors. And here's the thing, it's hard for us to imagine, right? Because how many Bibles do you have in your home? Spencer, how many Bibles do you have?
A lot.
Come on, give me like a number. 12. Good. So, and if you didn't bring one of those, if you put your hand up, we'd give you one right now, right? We all have that. It's hard for us to imagine a pastor who doesn't even have a Bible and just receiving their first Bible. I mean, it's just absolutely life-giving. And so we're ministering to the pastors and Gary Norton, the founding pastor of this church. Praise God. Let's give Gary a hand, right? He and his wife Elaine are working over there in Africa with Chicuzulete and the villages around there to help minister to the pastors, just doing a wonderful, wonderful work. In addition to that, this is the container being unloaded. Remember you brought for months, right? You were bringing bicycles and coming to church with your Bible and a bicycle, right? Or your Bible and a gift and loading up that backstage. And then we filled this huge container and it's arrived in Chicuzulete. And these are some of the Somebody Cares workers unloading that. Those are your gifts going to those people. And it's a beautiful blessing. You have refreshed others, and be refreshed by that. It's worth celebrating. Amen. Those are just a handful of the things that we've been doing. And I want you, we've only just begun, right? We've only just begun. God has so richly blessed us. We can do so much more. But I want you to be just mega refreshed right now, because I want you to hear from, not just me, I want you to hear from our partner in the field. It was amazing to be with her in Africa and see how God is using her so mightily. And she is the founder and leader of Somebody Cares. She is a chief in Malawi. And would you please give her a warm SSCC welcome, Chief Teresa Malila. Thank you. Well, we want to welcome Teresa in Chichewa. And so I'm going to teach you the word welcome in Chichewa. Teresa taught it to me today, or this week. It's a takulandilani. Okay, so I'd like you to say that with me to welcome Chief Teresa. Ready? Takulandilani.
Zikomo.
Very good. Some of you, a handful of you, have been part of our trips, our medical trips and construction trips that we've been sending to Chicuzulete and into Malawi over the last couple of years. But really, probably 95% of you haven't been there. And so, Teresa, if you could kind of paint a picture of life in Chicuzulete for the people who haven't been there.
I'll take you for a walk. Chicuzulete is about 45 kilometers from Lilongwe City. It's pure rural. There are no lights. There's no running water. It's completely deforested because most of the trees have been used for fuel wood and to have fires, because there's no electricity. People, the only light they have is fire. And Most of the houses are little huts with no ventilation. And whether you are a family of 10, sometimes 14 because of the children that have been adopted through HIV/AIDS and adoption is just because it's an extended family. You have to take your brother's children or your brother's sister's children in. And so it's just this space, like I would say, where we are sitting here, smaller than this mat. Mm. And you sleep in there and you live in there, and that is your space. And thatched roofs during the rainy season that leak like nobody's business. During winter, extremely cold, mosquito infested, and a lot of malaria. And women and young girls, they normally rise up around about 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to go and fetch water from a river that is, or a shallow well that is sometimes 20, 25 kilometers from home. So they rise up very early and they take a bathe, or they bath there. And if they've got any washing after they've taken their water, they'll do their washing there. They go that early because later in the day, the animals also will use the same water. So we have a lot of waterborne diseases in that area. And they collect firewood during the day. And the little boys will rise up maybe at 4 a.m. or 5 and go out and kill a few mice, field mice. And that is basically, and come and roast them over the fire, because that will be their meal. That is the only protein people will ever eat. So that's the kind of picture of Chikudzulile post SSCC, where people have to walk miles if they want to go to a hospital. And at the end of the day, they get to the hospital and there's no medicine. You get diagnosed, but you don't get medicine. And so you walk back another 25 kilometers home with nothing but despair. And all this is a widow who has to sit outside her home and watch the sun come up and the sun go down with no hope at all, except that if a passerby comes by, maybe, just maybe, she will have something for the day. Life expectancy in Malawi, 36 years. Most of the orphans are being cared for by grandmothers, and grandmothers who have no source of income. And 60% of our population is non-literate. As you've heard, 65 under the age of 15. Here you plan for university for your children. There they plan that the child may stay alive today, that the child may see the light of the day and the sun go down for that particular day. And they praise God for that. So that is Chikudzulile for you. Dirt roads, footpaths. If you see a bicycle, you must know that person is really rich. That's how they would measure your wealth, by your bicycle. I think here it's measured in a different form, but that's how we measure. And they are just blessed to be alive, not knowing about tomorrow, but just knowing that today I am there. After SSC came in, things began to change. Water, fresh water. Water is a treasure. I see you have bottled waters here. You have all sorts of water. Sometimes I don't even know how to open your taps. I stand and I say, Lord, show me. Water is a luxury. It is a luxury. Going to school is a luxury. Being able to get clothing, at least one new dress a year, is a luxury. Seeing food on the table is a luxury. Being able to get Tylenol for your headache is a luxury. Do you know how people pull out teeth in community? You tie your teeth with a small piece of string to whatever, and then you pull, you run, and the tooth comes out. Or you shake it until it can come out. We don't have what you call dental care. When I get sick, or anybody gets sick in that community, they just pray and believe God that it will go. HIV/AIDS, malaria is ravaging the population. But I thank God they have blankets, because blankets were provided through the saints in this church. They have mosquito nets, because the mosquito nets were provided by the saints in this church. They have bicycles to get them to hospital. They've got bicycles to ride around their community. You see, I see drive because I'm seeing cars all the time here. They have food. Do you know, we talk about the shelters that for the children. It's not for the children. It's for everybody. The widows go there and sit because they can get a meal that day. When the community center was being built, the chiefs, the pastors, the community sat from morning till sunset and watched this marvel going up and saying, truly, God has visited Chikudzulire. Truly, God is here. This building would never be here if it wasn't for God, because this building should be in the city. And so every day they go and watch this center go up. It is going to be a narrative, a story that their children and their children's children and their children's children's children will talk about how God came and changed their situation. So it's been such a blessing just to see that happening in Chikudzulire, a place that was dead but is now alive because of the saints that have said, I must go. I must send. I must be a part of what God is doing currently. And yes, in spite of the shaking, it is a reawakening of being blessed to be a blessing.
So, Teresa, you told me something the other day that still is just hard for me to comprehend. But you were talking about the exploitation of the young girls, oftentimes the orphan young girls, and the initiation rites and the occultic practices. And can you just tell people a little bit about what's happening with that?
There are a lot of rituals and practices that are ungodly. And initiation rites for girls at the age of 8, between 8 and 10, or when they reach puberty, they find a male relative. It's either the cousin, the uncle, or even the grandfather, because there will be a gap. And this child is initiated into sexual activities. And the result of it, as you may well know, is that most of the young girls are infected with HIV at a very early age. And sometimes the family is so poor that the mother or the father would go to a family and ask for some corn, and they would be unable to pay it back. And so they would have to redeem, they call through that a girl child in the family. So an 8-year, and the man comes and chooses, he always chooses the young girl, and he says, I want that girl. And so the girl is given over. And obviously at that age, she's introduced into that. There's a lot of prostitution also now, because girls are sent out and told that they need to bring back money. We had cases of women telling us that the men said to them, don't come back until you have money. If you have to prostitute yourself, you do it. But we need food in the house. There is an imbalance in what family is supposed to be. And then there's a case where a man dies and the woman is forced to marry his brother if there's no brother, an uncle or a cousin. And that is part of some of the things that happen there. Young boys are taken into what they call the Church of Aaron at a very early age, at 8 or so. They live in the graveyards, and they are the ones that when the women are going for firewood or the young girls, they either rape them or just assault them. And this is part of it. There's a lot of warfare going on. And right now, as many of you know about Madonna, and Madonna was one of the people that came to me and said that they would give me $100 million, and I'm not kidding, if I would allow them to come in and partner in all our communities so that they would introduce spirituality for kids, which is part of the Kabbalah faith, and also build a Kabbalah center. That sounds very, 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 very attractive. When you know your people are living on $1 a day and some with no dollar a day, and you know there's so much poverty, you know there's no hospital help there, you know that they don't have food, they don't have, they can't send their children to school, and this is brought to you, and you say, surely God is answering through the wealth of the wicked. But then prayerfully you seek God, and God says, no, can do that. And you seek the counsel of others that you pray with, and they say, it's not of God. And you go back and you say, no, thank you. Amen. Amen. And I want to tell you, this is not, it's an act of God. You know, people like to call an act of God maybe lightning kills people. But an act of God is something that brings life. And Superstition Spring coming to partner in Chukwudzure was God, an act of God, and God saying, because you honored what I told you at that time, I am going to bring this church into this area. And you are the first partner that has made a solid commitment to say, we are there, and we are going all the way, and we are with you. And that is God. It is God that has ushered in a new season and a new way of doing things and a new way of using a blessing to be the blessed to be a blessing in this day and age. This is not taken lightly. You need to celebrate that God has used this specific assembly of saints to usher in a new season in what it means for the church to be the church, to be the greatest threat to injustice in the world. Amen. And to be the one leading the way, the fight against HIV/AIDS. I see posters at the University of Maryland in Baltimore leading the way in the fight against HIV/AIDS. I don't think so. Not the United Nations, not any organization apart from the living organism that is the living, the body of Christ. Amen. And you need to give a major hallelujah shout for what God is doing with you. Praise God.
Teresa, can you give the people a picture of exactly what does somebody care with that organization, Somebody Cares? What do you do to bring hope?
We believe we are the sent ones. And God raised up the ministry and called us during a time that the church was silent about HIV/AIDS, silent about suffering, silent about the mess that was going on. And God called us to be a voice to the church, to the local church in Malawi, to work through the church. We only work through the church, and we use the traditional heads who are the gatekeepers of any community, and we bring them into the church. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, we go forth declaring the gospel. And we start with the pastoral, which is what breaks anything. There's a lot of witchcraft, demon worship, whatever spirit worship that is going on in a land that has had a lot of bloodshed. Because, you know, when a grandfather sleeps with a three-month-old baby, what do you call that? That is murder. It happens all the time. Incest all the time. And so we go in with the gospel to break this thing in the spirit realm, to break it, and to minister to pastors that are over the people that God has called as his sheep, and standing in that. And so we build their capacity. Somebody Cares, the acronym CARES, is caring, advocating, resourcing, educating and empowering, serving and supporting. A holistic approach, because God is holistic. He's about everything in your life, whether it is social, economical, spiritual. God governs that whole thing. And he empowers you to empower others. And so we go forth with the gospel. And we have been blessed, as you've seen, pastors who've preached John 3:16 for years and still get revelation, because God gives revelation. Because it's about your heart. He gives us revelation all the time, but we don't listen. He gives us revelation on how to spend our money, what to wear, what to buy, where to go. But hey, we are people. And so these pastors now can preach truth and break whatever is going on. There's the ministry to the pastors and their wives. There's the ministry to the youth. We are raising up the youth. You know, one of the youth said, you know, we are not future leaders. We have been forced into leadership by the hand of God because there is a gap now. And so we stand committed to what God has called us to be. So you have the Bibles. We have 218 registered home-based care workers, but we have more because I must let you know, Chikudzuri is 48 villages. A village has about 1,000 to 5,000 people. So you chose the big one. So God must know there's a big heart here, starting from the man of God here. There's going to be a major impartation to you about this heart of God. And so we thank God for that. You may not be singing hallelujah right now, but you will be. That in itself, Bibles that have come in, Bibles that are going. We have, in the areas we work, one Bible per 100 people. Figure that out. And our impact area is 500,000 people, 13 zones. Chikudzuri is one of the zones. Those people, I mean, they wake up with a hallelujah shout. They go to bed with a hallelujah shout. They walk in the roads and they are singing. You walk into Chikudzuri, you will see crowds coming to welcome you, blessing and singing and praising God for what has happened. It has blown their minds. Amen. Those 218 volunteers take care of 3,500 critical patients. Those are the critical ones, the ones that are dying, the ones that cannot get up from their bed, from their mats. And I'm talking about just lying on the ground. They take care of them. They go administer. They go and care. They go and support. Then we have the support groups, people that have recovered. They are now on antiretrovirals or they're just feeling well. They've been on the program. And so we adopt and release. We adopt and release. So the number increases. It never goes down. But praise God, people are recovering. And they say, if they had not heard the word of God, they would not have fought to stay alive. But then the food packs that come through your support, that they can eat something. Because you cannot be taking medication without food. You know, that's impossible. But that package that comes attached to the spiritual comes the natural one. And together bring life. The water. Huh. You know when the teams come in and they have those bottled water and the children all wait for the bottle. Want that bottle. I want that bottle. Some were even making little shoes out of that bottle. Yeah, they go barefoot. But praise God. There you are. We have 1,200 pastors in the pastoral fraternity. There are more, but we use that group just to empower that group, to teach that group. And we had pastoral packs that were supported from here. You know, 65 packs per pastor with concordance. You should have seen them with those packs. It was like, you've given me a Mercedes-Benz today. That's how it feels. It feels good. You know, the clothing that has come in. When somebody wears one dress the entire year, you know, and wants to keep it clean for Christmas or Sunday. If there's one day they dress up, it's Sunday. One day. You know, it's like I was glad when I went to the house of the Lord. You know. And so that just brings a quickening of people's spirit to know that though we have not seen them, we are strangers to them, but they have blessed us. You know, if you read 3 John 1, 5, it talks about blessing strangers, though you haven't seen them. And that's what you have done. But we are no longer strangers now. We are one in Christ. Amen. You know, we are brothers, separated by a span of water and land. But hey, one in the spirit, one in the kingdom. Kingdom focus, going, possessing the land. And the people, redeeming people in the same process, kinsmen's redeemers. And so this is happening at such a rate that it blows our minds to see, you know, the blessing of the Lord coming through people that have said, yes, we can do it. We are part of the kingdom. We are kingdom minded. We are kingdom focused. And so all this blessing is coming in. 6,500 children, 920 in Chikuzulire. But I'm telling you, once that center is up and running, there will be thousands. They will be like flies on a piece of dead meat. You know? It's going to be dangerous. Because God is doing a dangerous thing. He's threatening the very comfort of our existence and saying, will you go? Will you do? And we say, yes, sir, that's the master. And so God is doing something mighty through this church. We've had partners that have come and done small projects here. But this church has been the answer to when we said no to something that was not of God. God said, yes, this is who I am. This is whom I sent. And this is who, these are my people. Tell your children. This is important for them to know. This is an inheritance. You know how the Bible says you leave an inheritance to your children's children? Chikuzulire is your inheritance. It's the inheritance. Much fruit has been born. Much fruit. It's not our fruit. It's your fruit. The Lord reminds me. He says, it's their fruit. We have our own fruit. We know what our fruit is. But that is your fruit. You should be seeing trees with yellow mangoes, bananas in Africa, in Chikuzulire. That's where your fruit is. You have borne much fruit. You have sent people. There's Gary and Elaine, as he said, you know, humble servants, very humble. People who have not said they've come to change us, but together, God will change us. Amen. Together, God is going to do a mighty work in us, and through us. Because you know he starts in us. We always see what is there. He shows us what is here. And when we have that testimony, it moves outward. And so Brother Gary and Sister Elaine, I would have gone crazy long ago. You know, just overwhelmed. And you know, God sends two people in your life that minister to you. Because in this busyness and this going and going and going, there's much of giving, very little of receiving for self. And so God brings people to pour into your life, and they also see change. When my brother Felix died of malaria, I tell you, no, you do not begin to understand how you can be with somebody today and by midnight that person is gone. You were laughing, you were talking, and the person is no more. Malaria goes just like that. You literally see the person dying. And you believe God, and you believe healing, and then the person goes. We know that he's in a better place. But Brother Gary was with me from midnight till 3 a.m. in the morning. And he said, I've come to serve you, Teresa, whatever it is you need me to do. But he served me through his silence, through being there. And I felt comforted just by that silence. And sometimes that's how God comforts all of us. But we want something. But the silence of God is more comfort than anybody talking. And that's how they've been with us through everything that we, our lives are just knitted together. And God is going to bring that knitting together through this church and ourselves. Amen. It's going to be a knitting together. You are no longer your own now. You belong to the Most High. And he has knitted us together for life and eternity. That's how I see it. And that is the expression that God gives me. But you have done amazing things. Amazing. And maybe for you, it doesn't, you don't begin to understand. Because you can switch on a light. You can open a tap of water. You know, you can call 911. You can do all those things. We dial 911 to the Most High. And he has to answer. That's our 911. But then suddenly he has shown us that there are brethren there that I've raised up to walk with you, raised up to honor my name. And for that, I need to say thank you on behalf of myself, the ministry, and the people of Chikuzulire, but also the people in Malawi whom we serve. There is three ways we say thank you in my country. The one is a thank you that when I pass you, even here down the aisle, and I want to go somewhere, I say, thank you. I don't say, excuse me. It's thank you. Because I'm honoring that Christ in you. Then there is the thank you between brothers and sisters in a home, in a family. But there is a thank you that expresses, you know, the hallelujah praise that says, thank you that you worshiped God with your giving. You worshiped God. It's an act of worship that you literally worship God by your giving. That the bicycle, I say thank you for the way you worship God and provided the bicycle. That is the thank you. It's about worship, the act of worship. As you put things in that container, I say thank you. You were worshiping God as you put it. Thank you for the people that you enabled to go. Thank you. Thank you for the clothing that we can now put over people. Thank you for the blanket that when somebody is cold, that it even blocks incest in a family, that the child can be warm on her own or his own, and the parents can be warm on their own. Thank you for the patient that may have a blanket for the first time in their entire lifetime and worships God through that blanket and says, thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming and ministering to the sick, that when they see you, they say, surely there is a God out there. Your act of worship, that is the thank you I give you. It is not an ordinary thank you. It must not be taken ordinarily. This is a thank you that says, you worshiped God. You worshiped God. Thank you for the Bibles, that people will come to know the truth that will set them free. Thank you for the patient that is dying with the last breath, that enables to see a face that brings comfort, a food package that they may never be able to eat that day, but they know my children are taken care of. Thank you for that. Thank you for the many children that are in a safe place today, that are secure today, that have a place to run to, that has, it's a house of refuge, that place. I say thank you. Thank you for the porridge that they can eat that day, that the widow can have a meal that day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you have taken what was yours and given and blessed the Lord, and the Lord has turned it around into a blessing for us. I say thank you. Thank you for everything that you do, the prayers that go forth to the throne of the Most High God. I say thank you, because we wouldn't be out there if it wasn't for the prayers of the saints in this church that have committed and said, we are taking Malawi. Because there's too much violence there, and the violent will take it by force. I just want to express thank you. You have an inheritance. You have blessed my heart. You have made my Lord easier. You do not begin to understand. We dance. You know, Africans, we dance. And we danced. When that container arrived, we danced. And we said thank you. So that your act of worship, I want to say thank you. Thank you. Do not get weary. Yes. Do not get weary of doing good. You already have a harvest right now. You have a harvest. Tell your children. You know, I see your money is in quarters and what, and you know, the dollar that feeds a family for 2 days, one day, depending on what they want to buy, that $1. God has done a major work through you. And as your pastor said, it's the beginning. Can you imagine what the end will look like? That your children will one day, and their children will come to Chikudzuriri and say, my grandfather was here. My father was here. The altars are being raised. You know, as you worship in your giving, the altars are being raised. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. so, so, so much for bringing life to a dying generation, for redeeming. Because you are seen as kinsmen redeemers here. You have redeemed much through your acts of worship in this assembly.
Thank you so much. And we want to say thank you to you.
Coming here, sometimes I remember the first time when the Lord, when I came to the States, I was so overwhelmed. I couldn't go into your shops. Because, you know, for a shop for me, it's maybe this distance, and there's one type of yogurt, there's one brand of sugar. And I was just overwhelmed by your wealth. But I was also overwhelmed by the wasting. And I was in Baltimore, and this friend of mine was cutting strawberries, and she was chopping them in half and throwing the rest into the sink. And I went in the sink and I started eating. And I said, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And then she made some pancakes, and then she was about to throw it in the bin. I said, no, bring it here, bring it here. Just give me something to cover, I'll eat it. But you know, that's who we are. Nothing gets wasted. Nothing gets thrown around. You know, the garbage, the children use it, roll it together, tie it with strings, or they use it for the fire. I mean, you know, and so it really affected me. But there's one thing, when I came this time to this church, that God said to me. And he said, you know, how I grew up, my father grew up, and America was known for coming to get slaves in Africa and bondage, you know. And God said to me, you know what, tell them that you, the saints here, you are responsible for breaking that generational curse. The reproach is no longer there. You have brought liberty to the people in Africa, Malawi. Because I'm an African. Liberty. You have brought healing to the sick, to the brokenhearted. You have brought the gospel of peace. You have set the captives free. When God speaks in that way, it is about time to praise God and say, hallelujah, Father. Because we no longer live in that condemnation, in that reproach, in that generational curse, because it is broken. You know, when it is broken, there's nothing more. You don't have to keep saying, I am sorry, or this happened. God is saying, it is over.
Amen.
Because of the act of worship that has been offered you. It is over. It is over. You have broken it. And my daughter, my 13-year-old today, does not know about the slavery, does not know about all that. All she knows is that they came and they ministered. They brought healing. They brought the gospel. They brought food. They brought corn. And they brought of themselves. That's not easy. And for those that don't come, you will come. And for those that cannot come, you are there in spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Would you please remain standing? I'd like us to, as a community of believers, I'd like us to make a pledge together to the people of Chukwudzire, and specifically to Teresa and the people at Somebody Cares, our personal pledge. And so would you please say this with me? In the name of Jesus, we will bless the people of Malawi. We will give, generously give to our resources. We will build relationships that last. We will make promises and keep them. We will be givers of hope. We are here to stay. Amen? All right. And I want to teach you a new phrase. It's a phrase in Chichewa. It says, we're here to stay. So would you please say this with me? I'll say it first. I've practiced it all week long. Tatsanka chianjano mapaka muyaya. We are here to stay. Would you please say it with me? Tatsanka chianjano mapaka muyaya. We are here to stay because we want to be a force of justice in the world in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise God. Go ahead and take a seat if you will. I'm going to ask the band to come on out, and for the sake of time, I'm going to do something a little bit different here. We're going to end on time, I promise you, because we've got a whole bunch of other people coming in. So here's what I want to do. Instead of playing the closing song, you guys will play us on the way. Come on out. Thanks. But I want to spend a couple minutes here. First, we're going to pray for an offering, and then I want to spend just a couple minutes as we're taking the offering of telling you ways that you can get involved. So would you please pray with me for the offering? Father, we thank you for how you have blessed us. God, would you help us to be refreshed, God, to be refreshed by what you're doing through what we've given. And yet, God, would you encourage us to know that we've just begun. We have so much more we could do. And in the name of Jesus, would you help us to be generous? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.